Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Grow connects you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights and weekends. There are no subscriptions, no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/try now today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/try now. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, Father, for your holiness this morning.
Yes, Lord.
Come upon us, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, with your word. Fill us, Lord, with your fire this morning. We pray the fire of the Holy Spirit to give us power and strength, Lord, as we go into this day and go into this week. And we praise you and we thank you. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. God is good. Oh, a lot's going on out there in the world lately. Praise the Lord. God is good. He reigns always. Well, it's good to see Mom and Ed back in church. It's been a little while. Praise the Lord. Feeling better. That's great. Couple weeks. Thank you, Jesus. We need to pray for Joy. He's sick, Lord, so keep him in your prayers this week. And we believe in blessings, and the Lord says, and he promises as we give today, that he will pour out a blessing on us. It's the only thing that we can test God in, is our tithes and offerings. So I don't want anybody to miss a blessing or get passed up on a blessing. So Grace, would you want to come on down? We're going to take up an offering. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon our finances, Lord. We pray that you would bless the work of our hands, that you would prosper us, that you would prosper our families, our children, our grandchildren, Lord Jesus, that you would bless them and keep them, each one of them, Lord God. We just entrust them into your hands. And we're trusting in you. You are Jehovah Jireh, God, our provider. Lord, you have provided for us so abundantly, and we just give you all the praise, and we just give back to you cheerfully, Lord God, as we give into your kingdom, where rust and moth will not devour. And we just praise you for this tithes and offering. We pray that you would bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God is good. Thank you, Lord. My glasses are a little fogged up here. Oh, that's a little bit better. Thank you, Jesus. Well, this week I learned something new from my daughter, Elida. And the title of my sermon is called The Mark, by the way. The Mark. The Mark. She sent a message to Julie, saying that the Prime Minister of the UK had just announced that they are going to pass a digital ID, and it's going to be effective in this parliament that they're in. Where they will, and he actually said, and quote unquote, that they will not be able to work by or sell unless they have the digital mark. That was in the UK headline news. Now, what is amazing, and this is what I love about the Bible, is that the Bible, the prophecies of the Bible, the Prime Minister of UK just fulfilled the prophecy that was said in Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 through 17. Joe, can we put it up there? And he's talking about the beast. And it says, "And it makes everyone small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark, the beast's name, or the number of its name." Now that was like word for word what the Prime Minister publicly said to the whole nation of the UK. He makes everyone small and great. Now, the UK government is selling this as that it's free. It's free. It's going to be great for everyone. It's going to make things easier for you. What he's trying to do is he's trying to curb the work for the illegal immigrants that have taken from the UK nation, from the people living in the UK. They have so much illegal immigration going on over there that it's taking the jobs from their citizens. He wants to implement this by the end of the parliament. You know, the Prime Minister over there in the UK is picked like our senators, our congressmen. You know, they have a parliament, and it's the majority leader. Like we have a majority leader in our Senate. We have the majority leader in our Congress. And they pick these leaders because they win the majority vote. Now, the Prime Minister can be he can be there indefinitely until they lose their vote or their leadership in the UK. Now, he can also be removed by what's called a no-confidence vote, meaning that they have no confidence in their leader and they can vote to remove their leader from Parliament. The Prime Minister, or they can lose a general election, or they can be outside of their party lines or outside of their party beliefs, which actually happened in 1990. I don't know if you remember this, to Margaret Thatcher. Margaret Thatcher went outside of her party beliefs, and her party voted her out of there as leadership. But, you know, I think the Prime Minister of the UK is a little premature in Bible prophecy, that he spoke this prematurely, that I don't think this is going to pass. He's already got 1.6 million opposing voters against him. But all this reminds me of just how close we are to Jesus' return. This is close. You know, this is Bible prophecy. This is what the Prime Minister spoken. He said this out loud. And it is crazy. You're like, oh my gosh, this is right here in the Word. You know, this was foretold thousands and thousands of years ago prior to this actually happening. And that's what makes the Bible so interesting is the prophecies. You know, he's okay. He's all right. He's not bothering me. He's not distracting. You know, I mean, we have kids that run around this church when all the little ones are here. So I wish they were here so he would have some company. But he's fine. Don't worry about him. Okay? He's okay. He's not bothering us. Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible says we should come to him like little children. Right? You know, and like Jesus welcomed all the little kids to come to him. Even though the disciples were like, "No, get away. This is Jesus. He's an important man." But, you know, all the kids just flocked to Jesus. Why did they flock to Jesus? It's because of the love that Jesus had for kids and the love that Jesus, because God is love. Jesus is God. So Jesus, he just poured love out wherever he went. And people felt the love of Christ. And that's what really is. You know, that's what we want to be. We want to love people like Christ loved people. Amen. So, he's all right. It's all good. It actually makes me laugh, and it's funny because that just fits right in with our family. Praise the Lord. We're all part of God's family. But, you know, going back to my scripture here, you know, as a pastor, a husband, a father, a grandfather, a friend, I'm actually a great-grandfather now, believe it or not. But I want to warn you, you know, that in the Bible, it talks about the mark of the beast. You know, in chapters of Revelation, in chapter 14, 9 through 11, he talks about the mark of the beast. But I want to also encourage you that it says in Thessalonians that we're going to be gone before all this takes place. You know, and the body of the church body is still here. It hasn't been raptured yet, and we believe in the rapture. We believe in the second coming of Christ, that he's going to send his angels down with a trumpet blast, and the church is going to be, you know, taken off this earth before the tribulation period starts. We're a pre-tribulation church, and that's how we believe. And I believe it because of the Word of God, because what the Word of God says. And I would encourage you in the days that we live in, you know, to test everything by the Word of God. You know, don't take my word for it. I'm just a man. You know, I'm here to interpret the Word of God to you and to share the Word of God to you and encourage you in Christ Jesus. But take it to the Word. If you're not sure, get in the Word and read the Word, because it'll tell you. And when you do read the Word, pray that the Holy Spirit will open your eyes and your ears to give you to give you understanding. All right, that's really important. As we read the Word, because the Word is living, it's sharper than a two-edged sword, it's alive. It's been around for over 6,000 years. It's going to continue. And we just need to pray for God to give us insight when we read it so we can understand it. Because there's mysteries in there, and there's things that we might not understand in our human form, our human nature, our human minds. But God will reveal it to you spiritually. You know? So when you do read the Word, pray and test everything. Even what I say, take it to the Word. And I believe that before this event takes place, before the mark of the beast comes out, the rapture of the church is going to take place. And like I was saying, that's how close we are. I mean, you don't need to be a member of the body of Christ Jesus to realize that the world is not a great place to be in, that it's not getting any easier. It's harder to make a living. It's harder to provide for your family. Things are not they're not that easy to do. So, you know, and people from the world know that it's not right, and that things aren't right. This all is part of the birth pains, you know, that the world is going through, that we're going to go through. But we, as believers, put our faith and trust in Christ Jesus because, you know, he died on the cross for us. He rose again from the grave on the third day, you know, so that we could be with him. He took our sins upon himself so that we could be forgiven. And it's funny that we're actually, you know, if you follow any of the Jewish festivals, we're actually in a 10-day period of awe, it's called, you know, from the Feast of Trumpets to Yom Kippur, where the Jewish people, the custom is they have 10 days to repent of their sins. And we're in that 10-day period. So, praise the Lord. You want to go up there, don't you? There's so many cool things and lights up there, isn't there? But praise the Lord, you know, that is exactly, we have this time, this period, this grace time of repentance. And it's a grace time that the Jewish people have. They do it every year. They have this grace time of repentance. And I believe it's a grace time extended to us for repentance, because God's grace is still powerful. You know, we're saved by grace, right? Amen. But in Revelation chapter 14, 9 through 11, it says, now let's read that, Joe, up there, if you could put it up on the board. It says, and a third angel followed them and spoke with a loud voice. If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he will also drink the wine of God's wrath, which is poured full strength into the cup of his anger. He will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the sight of the holy angels and in the sight of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment will go up forever and ever. There is no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and its image, or anyone who receives the mark of its name. So, if you are as a believer, we're gone. But the unbelievers here that are left, that all of a sudden realize, hey, my loved ones have been raptured that believed in Jesus. Right? My family might be gone. I'm left here. They believed in the Word of God. They stood on the Word of God. What? They're going to go through in their mind, I can't even imagine. I could not imagine being left here on this earth after the rapture's taken place, being left behind. I cannot imagine that, you know, and I can't imagine what might be going through my mind as I've seen my loved ones just disappear right in front of my eyes. The whole world will be in total chaos because there will be millions, if not billions, of people gone from this earth. Think about what's going to happen to the world's economies. Think about what's going to happen all around you. Chaos is going to ensue. And I can't even imagine what you're going to be thinking of. My prayer is this, that when that takes place, whoever is left behind, there is still hope. But it's not going to be an easy way of life. It's not going to be easy way of life. And I would encourage everyone here that if anybody is left behind, whatever you do, do not take the mark of the beast. It might be easy to think of that. You gotta buy food to help your family. You gotta survive. But don't do it, because the Word says, and the Word is true, if you take the mark of the beast, there is no rest for you. It would be better for you to die as a martyr in the tribulation than it would be to take the mark of the beast and try to make your life easy, because in the end, it ends up in the lake of fire where there's torment and sulfur nonstop. We are eternal beings. We're spiritual beings. Amen? And our lives here on this earth are short, but eternity is forever. And that's what's most important, is our eternity. So I would encourage you, you know, I listen to one of my senior pastors. He said, if you're stuck and left behind in the tribulation, get yourself a Bible. Read the Bible. Read what's going on in Revelations. It'll tell you what's going on. Hunker down. Try to survive as much as you possibly can, because their world will be in craziness. We've gone, there will be earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars. There's all kinds of turmoil going on. Try to hunker down. Get a Word. Read the Word. Stand on the Word. You know, try to gather yourself some belongings that you can survive with, because the tribulation period is 7 years. You know, the great tribulation period is going to last 3.5 years. I know some churches like World Harvest Church, they're actually setting up a place for people that might be left behind. You know, and he's put it out there. If you're left behind, come here. Go there. Go there. Get yourself a Bible. Read it. There's all this stuff we're leaving behind for those that might be left. But whatever you do, do not take the mark of the beast. Don't do it. And that all that doesn't take place until the church is gone. When all of this, the mark of the beast, comes out after the church has been raptured. And it won't be easy at all. But I want to read to you in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 through 11. It says, "About the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know that very well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. When they say peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them like labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in the dark for this day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or the darkness. So then let us not sleep like the rest, but let us stay awake and be self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, and put on the armor of faith and love and a helmet of the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." I want to make a note here and just reiterate. God's plan for all of us is not wrath. It says it right there clearly in the Word. His plan is not to lose one. You know, we know the scripture that says he leaves the 99 to chase the one. He doesn't want to lose one person, not one of his children. His plan is not for us to burn, to be tormented, to go through wrath. His plan for us was through his Son, Jesus Christ, through the work of the cross, through salvation, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up as you are already doing. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15, I'm going to read to 18. It says, "For we say this to you by a word from the Lord. We who are still alive at that Lord's coming will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel's voice, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are still alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." That is a sign of the rapture of the church and of the believers. And I believe that we will be coming back to this earth after the tribulation period is. Because it says that he will come back on a white horse. We will come back on a white horse with the angels in heaven, the archangels in heaven, and all the saints with them to set up a kingdom here on earth. A new kingdom, a new heaven, and a new earth. Amen? So it's like, how exciting is it for those who believe in Christ Jesus that, hey, when Jesus comes to rapture the church, that we go to heaven for like 7 years, right? And then he leads us back to earth and he sets up a new heaven and a new earth. Praise the Lord. And then we get to take dominion over it again for the millennial reign. So praise God. It's going to be some exciting days. And we're this close to Jesus' return. You know, when the prime minister comes out with a statement like that this week, you know, and things in the world being in chaos, and we know they are, you know, we know that Jesus' return is soon. And it says that we will know his return is soon. Everybody thought the rapture was going to happen last week. And it's like, no, you know, when everybody says the rapture is going to take place on this day, this day, this day, know that that's wrong. Because the Bible says no one knows the hour or the day. You might know the season. He says that we'll know the season, but we won't know the exact hour or the day. It says the angels don't know it. The Son, who is Jesus, doesn't know it. Only the Father knows the hour and the day. Amen. So when you hear things like that, don't worry about it. All we need to do is put our faith in Jesus. We need to put our hope in Jesus, keep our eyes on the prize, which is Jesus, which is eternity, right? Put the blinders on the world and focus on Him. Keep straight your path. Keep your focus on Him. And He will sustain you. He'll keep you. Amen? So, Father, I just pray this in closing, that, Lord, that You, Lord God, Lord, would just bless us, Lord God, that You would keep us. And we know Your word is true, and amen. Lord God, we know that, Lord God, You are for us and You're not against us. We know that You do not appoint us to wrath, but Your will is for each one of us to prosper and to be in good health. Lord God, we know sickness isn't part of our daily life. Lord God, we pray against that in Jesus' name. Lord God, and we pray against the devil who tries to distract us, throw arrows at us, flaming arrows of accusations, Lord. We come against them in Jesus' mighty name. We put up the shield of faith, Lord God, to extinguish those. Lord Jesus, we put on the helmet of salvation, Lord God, and we're just trusting in You, Lord Jesus. I praise You and I thank You for each person here. I pray that anything that I've said that's not of You would fall away to the side, Lord God, but anything that I've said that I've spoken of, Lord God, through Your word, that's from You, Lord God, would sink into our hearts and our minds. You would open up our minds and everything to receive that what You have for us today. And I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.